Today we're beginning a series on world religions. And we're beginning with the beginning, Africa. And to open this talk, we're going to share a ritual called the pouring of libation. And I'm going to ask Lisa to do the pouring. We pour libation in a traditional African way in order to honor those shoulders upon whom we stand. And of course, we honor our first ancestor, that one presence and one power, known by many names through many languages in many cultures, but whose aspects are all good. And we now pour libation to our first ancestor, the one presence and the one power. And we respond by saying, Ashe. We pour libation to its first offspring that walked upright, humanity born more than 6 million years ago in the wonderful land called Africa. We pour libation to these first ancestors who carried that divine spark so deeply within them. And we now pour libation to those ancestors, Ashe. We pour libation to those African ancestors who, in creating a civilization that we know today as ancient Egypt, and in peopling and bringing forth that great civilization, set the stage that gives us the opportunity to look back through their writings, through their eyes, through their lives, to come to know ourselves today. We now pour libation to these, our ancestors, Ashe. And even as they were moved and pushed out of that ancient land of Egypt by invaders, and even as they were enslaved through many periods to come, we pour libation because they continued to express that divine spark within. We now pour libation to these, our ancestors, Ashe. And we pour libation to the ancestors that we have known in our lives, those who have spoken from their tongues into our ears. Even now, we can feel the moisture of their spoken word upon our flesh, as they gave us perfect direction that allows us to be able to be here today and to know that we stand upon shoulders that are sure and strong. We now pour libation to these, our ancestors, Ashe. And we pour libation for us, the seekers of the truth, the ones who would know. We pour libation to the struggle to know who we are and for the reward that has brought to us in this place and this present time. We now pour libation to all present-day seekers of the truth. Ashe. We pour libation to our children, to the world that they will recreate because we have stopped to take the time to know, because we have studied, because we have prayed, because we have determined to know the truth. We now pour libation to our children, Ashe. And to their children, and their children, and their children, and their children, and to their children, untold generations, we now pour to our children's children, Ashe, and Ashe, and Ashe, forevermore, Ashe. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. In choosing to speak about African spirituality this morning, I could have spoken about the many different types of spirituality in that great continent, or the spiritual practice of Africans today all over the world. But since this is a unity church with a new thought foundation, I thought that it would be much more relevant and interesting to explore the relationship of ancient African spirituality with present-day New Thought. But first, I bring your attention to ancient Egypt. I was in ministerial school with a woman named Tandi from South Africa, and we were friends. One day I asked her what it took to fly from her home to Unity Village. And it was amazing. And one of the things she said is, Africa is a very big continent. And it takes 2 days to fly from South Africa just to the top of Africa to change a plane, to really begin a flight overseas. And then she said, so many people, when they talk to her, say, you know, I've never been to Africa, but I've been to Egypt. And so, how many of you know that Egypt is part of Africa? All right. We need to understand this because we need to understand where we come from in New Thought and in Unity, what our history is. And as important, we need to honor the truth of this great ancient spiritual civilization that was African. First, what are the primary components of this ancient African spirituality? The Africans created a spiritual society based upon what is called Mahat. Mahat consists of principles, spiritual principles, including truth, justice, righteousness, order, balance, harmony, and unity. And the Africans were able to rise to the point of leadership in the world because they applied these principles in their lives, in their business, in their government. Everybody in this ancient civilization was instructed in these principles, like Unity's fifth step, walking the walk, how to live and how to operate. And it was through this instruction that they were able to create and maintain for tens of thousands of years this great and awesome civilization. Second, the ancient Africans were profoundly monotheistic. And that surprises some people, because we have read about all the many so-called gods of ancient Egypt. But they did not worship many gods, for they understood that there was just one power and one presence. And this power could express itself in many ways. It had many aspects, all of which were good. The African concept of God is of a universal being or spirit or force. And that God is a concept that is interchangeable with force and energy. And this is shown in the creation theology of the ancient Africans. This is called Memphite theology. I'm going to stop and do some definitions right now. Creation theology. Creation is, how did this all come to be? In our Judeo-Christian heritage, it's the book of Genesis. Theology is the group of religious teachings in any spiritual path. When this is called Memphite theology, think of the town of Memphis, and I don't mean Tennessee. Because there was Memphis in Egypt. And when you can kind of break it down, then these words are understandable. And don't stop you from listening to the rest of it. So in Memphite theology, Pata represents for the ancient Africans the creative principle, the creative power that is in each and every one of us, the power that we have to speak our word and to have life come forth. It is Pata, the most great, who has given existence to all the divine powers and to their essences through heart, mind, and tongue. And our ancient ancestors knew that heart and mind are the same and that they reside in the same place. They also knew that, listen to this, Atomb, A-T-O-M-B, Atom, as they called it, is on the tongue. Well, think about that word. If you take off the B, you've got Atom. The atoms are on the tongue. The basic building blocks of creation come from the spoken word. The atoms are on the tongue. So how much more graphic a description can you get of the law of mind action, of a profound understanding of the creative power of the spoken word? Knowing that Atom is on the tongue, and I think in heart, mind, and command as tongue, I create whatever I wish. Pata, the creative principle of divine power, is before us as teeth and lips. And the teeth and lips establish the names of all things. If you could look at the symbology of this, you would see that if the atoms come forth from the tongue, they are shaped on their way out into the world by the teeth and lips. And shaping gives them name, just like in the second book of Genesis when God gave Adam, A-D-A-M, a power and authority to name all the creatures. Then there are the power of light and air called Shu and the power of moisture called Tefnut. And these are the building blocks that our ancients are helping us to understand. So through the creative principle within each and every one of us to command the elements, light, air, and water, Shu and Telfet, and to bring into being through the seeing of the eyes, the hearing of the ears, the breathing of the nose, these senses that go out into the world and gather up information and present them to us, and then communicate it to heart mind. So indeed, every word of Pata came into being through that which the heart mind thought and the tongue commanded. It is said of Pata, he is he who made all and created the divine powers. He is the risen land from whom everything comes forth, food and provisions, divine offerings, and every good thing. And after he had created all things and divine utterances, Pata was pleased and he rested. Does that ring a bell? And he rests today on your tongue and on mine. So you see the connection with present-day unity teachings of one presence and one power, the divinity of humankind, the power of the spoken word. So then we stop and think, what happened? What happened to this great civilization? What happened to Egypt? For many years, they had to go underground, because the structure of these teachings that teach that individuals are divine and that they can create anything they wish through the power of their word could not last in a culture that needed to have control. When you have a belief system and a structure that you are divine, the rulers, the kings, the popes cannot use your mind. They cannot use your body. They cannot use your resources. And so the powers that be, like the great Roman Empire and the Catholic Church, never ever meaning to be critical of another religion, this is a history lesson, not a religion lesson, needed to have control, the Roman Empire and the Church. And so the war against the ancient African spiritual belief system took full control of the world, and it took them about 600 years to eradicate it. And the finish of this eradication is now called the Dark Ages. But out of that eradication came the root and foundation of what we call today New Thought. Because during the Dark Ages came the flowering of the underground, the mystery schools, as we know them today. And out of these mystery schools sprang the teachings of Gnosticism and the Essenes, the Kabbalists, Hinduism, Buddhism, the Masonic Order, and many others. All of these owe a debt for their primary teachings to ancient Africa and ancient Egypt. We see this influence clearly in the mysterious Dead Sea Scrolls that have been in scholars' hands for over 60 years and still yet, for the most part, have yet to see the light. Moving forward in history, we pay homage to the cult of the Black Madonna and Child, seen all over Europe. The pictures of the Black Madonnas that are depicting an ancient age of what we have come to know as Isis and the virgin birth of Horus by Immaculate Conception. Then along came the Protestant Revolution and Reformation and the Masonic tradition. And then out of that came the Rosicrucians and, I've been waiting for this because I have a story about it, the Druids. Okay. The Druids, this was news to me when I was researching this talk. It's a very interesting story about the legends of St. Patrick, because St. Patrick was charged by the Pope to get the snakes out of Ireland. You've heard that, haven't you? Oh, yeah. And these snakes were the Druids. I had never heard that. The Druids wore the symbol of the snake, which has been the symbol of wisdom throughout many centuries and in many traditions. And it was the belief system of the Druids that was run out of Ireland so that the church could once again dominate. The word Druid means he who knows. The Druids wore the same kind of decoration, dressed themselves the same way as did the ancient Egyptians. If we move forward through time, I'm going to list many movements and words so that we don't spend a lot of time on either any of them. The Theosophists, Mesmerism, the spiritual movement, spiritualist movement, Transcendental movement, then came Phineas Quimby, recognized as the father of modern New Thought. And throughout all this, we know that the teachings had been brought into the world originally by the Africans. And when this was all happening in the world, the Africans were still subject to slavery. And they were still being treated and thought of as less than human. So these teachings, when they made their reappearance into the world, these African spiritual teachings could not be recognized as such. And so a great effort was made to make sure that the African people never came to themselves, and that they never understood that these teachings, which we call New Thought, came out of ancient Africa. But truth, crushed to the earth, will rise again. So with this reemergence of the wisdom teachings of ancient Egypt and New Thought, what do we do with this? Where do we go from here? Our task is to learn and to adopt the Mahasyan spiritual principles of living, the Mahat philosophy, as New Thought people. Again, this is why we are here. Orthodox Christianity, whether it be Catholic or Protestant, with its God of vengeance and cruelty, has reigned for far too long. These ancient African spiritual teachings are on the rise again to rescue, to literally rescue the world from itself. And I wanted to point out, if we could have this slide, the above are the wings of Horus, I believe they are called, that are from ancient Egypt. And the bottom symbol is the symbol of unity with the winged globe. Charles Fillmore knew what he was doing. And that's why he created the logo of the winged globe. Charles Fillmore knew where he stood, on the shoulders of those ancestors who came before him, like we have stood on countless shoulders of our ancestors. And so today, I would ask, would you accept the charge that the great God Pata has given to us each? The great God Pata, who is the life of the universe, that has called each and every one of us forth to be its instrument, has given you and me its divine power, its divine authority to change the world for good. It is why we have come into being. We are here to change the world, not to build a unity church. We are here to change the world. And all we have to do is accept this greater charge. So the great God Pata says to you and to me, I've given you life, strength, and power. I have given you mind, heart, and tongue. Go forth now and do good in my name and through my power. Ashe and ashe and ashe. And thus ends today's lesson. God bless you.